Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I just want to tell you, it's been a blessing to be here. This is my last time speaking for the next 2 years. So this will be my last time to tell each and every one of you how grateful I am for what you guys have done for me, my family. We are very grateful. I am proud to call you my brothers and sisters. And it's been a blessing to come back here and visit with you guys, be with you guys, see you guys. This is a time where we recharge our batteries. And I have been very blessed. The meetings, morning, if you've missed the morning meetings, you've missed a lot. If you haven't been here for the morning meetings, and I understand some of you work, but if you had a time to and you did not make a commitment to come out, it's been a blessing. Morning and evening, it's been great. And if you missed some of these evening meetings, that's been a blessing. We've heard some good messages. I've been blessed. I have been very blessed, and God has been very good to me and we do not deserve it. We do not deserve His mercy, His grace, and I want to thank God for that. Nehemiah chapter 1, if you would please open today. Nehemiah chapter 1. I just start in verse 1. This is the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Cheslu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to praise your holy name for what you have done. We glorify you. We pray, Father, that you might be glorified and honored through this message, Lord. I pray that whatever is on my heart, Lord, that I would do it with the full possibility, Lord, both with words and might, Lord. May your name be glorified. I pray you would touch our hearts. Move us, Lord. Help us to be faithful stewards for you, Lord. We praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. My title, what I prepared for today, it's Let's Build a Wall. Let's build a wall. Here we have the story where Israel is being attacked. Israel was attacked. Jerusalem's gates have been penetrated, are knocked down, holes all through it. The gates are burnt with fire, he says. You can only imagine what the rest of the city looks like. Now, this is a tragedy. The place where God dwelt back in His temple, that city, Jerusalem, a mighty city. The gates were and the walls have been destroyed. That's a sad thing. And if you read from verse 4 all the way through all the way to the end of the chapter, you notice that Nehemiah, what he's saying, it's because of our sin that our gates, our walls have been destroyed. It's because we have failed you, Lord. And our walls have been destroyed. He repents of that. And that's what we have to do. Come to the conclusion, if sin has destroyed your walls, repent of it. Amen. Get right with God. Do what you have to do to get right so that your walls might be built. If your walls are destroyed today, let's build our walls. And we are being attacked daily. The devil is on your case every single moment of your life. He is trying to destroy your walls. He is trying to destroy your reputation, your testimony, every single thing about you he hates. Because you glorify God. Because he sees God, Christ in you. He hates it. It's disgusting to him. Our walls have been penetrated. Unfortunately, the devil has gone in. Even Christ himself tells Simon, 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 behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He is trying. He wants you. He desires you. He wants to just devour you. That's what we have to be careful. We have to be careful every single moment of our lives. We are being attacked. Our enemy wants our destruction. Thank God he cannot take away our salvation. Thank God he cannot take away our hope. But he can take away your joy of your salvation. He can take away your reputation, your testimony, that others may not follow in your footsteps, because you have destroyed the name of God through your character, through your actions. Oh, I pray that we would learn from mistakes of others. Learn from these mistakes. Let's build our walls that we might be able to withstand the attack of the devil. To be able to withstand in the days of the evil. Because you're getting worse. You know, the state of Israel back before Nehemiah shows up. It says here that the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. They are depressed. They are discouraged. They are down. They do not know what to do. They do not know where to turn. Their walls have been torn down. And they do not know what to do. What a state to be in. Discouraged. You know, they're not willing to work. They don't know what to do. They're in great reproach. That's the remnant of it, of that city. You know, are you discouraged? Are you down? We get that way once in a while. Probably more often than we should, but yes, it happens. We get discouraged. We get down. You know, we think, where's God? We get so discouraged, but God is with us. What do we have to be discouraged? The Bible says in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. I can boldly stand in the face of trials, of tribulations, and say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. But the problem is that we let our discouragement get us down. We let our problems. And that's when the devil puts his little finger in there and just starts causing little problems. And brick after brick after brick, your walls start crumbling. Our walls start crumbling, and we are penetrated. We have been torn down. Our walls are not capable of withstanding the attacks of the devil. Our gates have been burnt with fire. I read this and I weep. I weep for all of us. Because we have let this happen ourselves. It did not happen. This happenstance. We were not paying attention. We were distracted by things of this world, and we have let the devil. And I think about this, and I pray for all of us that we might be able to withstand in the days of evil. You know, God is with us, and rebuilding this wall. If you go to the second chapter of Nehemiah, the second chapter here, we're not going to be going far from Nehemiah, from the verse 4-5 chapters. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. So then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he has spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build, so that they strengthen their hands for this good work. They strengthen their hand for this good work. It's a good work for us to build a wall. It's a good thing for us to be able to withstand. That's what we should do. It's a good thing.
That's right.
Amen. We have to. We cannot let our walls be completely, utterly destroyed and let the devil get in every single moment and have his will with us. But we let him too often. We need to build our walls. They said, he said here in verse 17, you see the distress that we're in. But then he said 18, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was upon me. That God has blessed me. God has told me. God has ordered me to do this. And he did something good. He built a wall. But you know what? Every single time you go to do something good for the Lord, what happens? Satan is right there to destroy. I don't know if you heard of a man in this story, Sanballat. He hated the idea that they were going to build. Look, if you would, chapter 2, verse 10. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite heard of it, that they were going to build, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. It grieved them that somebody was here to do something good. That's the devil. The devil hates it when you do something good for the Lord. It irritates him. It makes him mad. And he will do everything to hinder you. Sanballat, he tried everything. He wanted to destroy the work. He wanted to interfere. He mocked. He was even sly like a fox trying to distract them. Say, let's get together. Let's all be friends and family. Yeah, isn't that the way the devil works? No, we're not enemies. We're friends. Let's get together. Let's have some a little picnic. That's the way the devil works. But we cannot let that happen. Every time you want to do something good, the devil will try to discourage you. You must strengthen your hand. You must understand it is a good work, and I will not let that happen. I will make a decision. You know, decisions have to be made daily. We make decisions. When to get out of bed, how to get out of bed, what mood when you get out of bed. Every single moment of our lives is a decision, and this is one of them. Amen. I will decide. I have committed this to my life. I will do this. I will build a wall. I will be faithful to God. And sometimes, unfortunately, we are. But when we are not faithful to God, we must repent of our sins. We must get right with God. He will try to discourage you. He will do it sometimes. Oh, Brian, brothers and sisters, that He will not always win the battles. That we may be able to win most of them, maybe even all of them. Oh, I pray that we would be able to build our walls to withstand. We are right now in our mission conference, we are talking about things, about going out to the world and preaching. But I see this, if we do not have our home front taken care of, we cannot go. If we do not take care of our testimonies, our lives in each place where we are at, we cannot be effective for the Lord. We cannot. If our walls have been penetrated by the devil, and our walls cannot withstand him, we cannot be effective for the Lord. We cannot be effective and do what we should be doing. We cannot be. We look to the far distance. That's fine. Tonight, I want you to bring it a little closer to home. Tonight, my message is for you to take care of you. To take care of your family, your marriage, your home, your church. Things that pertain to you. Because if one of us gets destroyed, just knocked down, no telling what the damage could be. It's happened. Churches have been split for littler things. And I pray to God that this church might be here for a long, long, long time. But if we get distracted by this world, if we do not put into practice to build our walls, the devil will have his will with us day in and day out. This is something that I see that we must do. And they started to build. The Bible says that they were willing to work. They had a desire to work. And wouldn't that be great when there's someone that says, you know what, let's go do something. Yes, I'm ready. I have a desire to do it. Yes, I want to. Yes, it's a good thing to do. Let's do it. Instead of saying, well, build a wall, but they're going to destroy it again. They didn't say that. I thank God that they didn't say that. I thank God they say, you know what, let's do it. Let's go to work. Many of us are lazy, good for nothing. And we don't want to work. They're willing and able. But where do they start? They started in the section directly in front of their house. Do you know, I don't know if you read this story. Read it. They started from one house
worked to the border of their next house, and that next person took over and started building his section. That means they took over their care of their home. They took care of their portion. But everybody was in unity. Everybody did something. Everybody built something. And if you did not live on the next to the wall, you built something else, a gate. You built something else up, a pillar, something. There's always something to do. There is nobody in this room who can say, you know what, I have nothing to do. Nobody. We have something to do. We have a responsibility to take care of our problem. We have the responsibility to take care of our work. This is not Brother Lindell's work. This is not my work or anybody. This is our work. This is our work. Together, we will do it. We can do it if we are in unity. Separate. If only one person built the wall and the next person didn't, there's still a breach in the wall. There's still a problem. Maybe that one wall, man, it is strong. It is, nobody can get through that. But the next one, there's a big old gap. My brothers and sisters, we need all of us together to work together. Every single one of us has to be in unity. I cannot do it without you. You cannot do it without me. We are here together. We are not at war at each other. Too many people have civil wars. Too many churches destroy themselves from inside out. And where are they at now? What are they doing? Completely disappearing. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I need you. We need each other. We need to be faithful. We need to be sick together. We need to work together as a unity. That's how they got it done. The reason why they took care of the things right in front of them, because there were few of them. There wasn't very many. There was only a remnant, the Bible says. A few left over. So they had to figure out a way. My brothers and sisters, there's not very many of us compared to this world. But they built a wall. And they built it strong. And it withstood. We can do it. We can do it. Christ can strengthen us. Only He can, but we can do it. Too many times say, you know what? I don't think I can. And we sell ourselves short. We are not being, you're not being truthful to ourselves. We can do it. There's a few of them, a lot of work. I don't know if you've ever built anything in your life. A building, especially, I'm pretty sure back in those days with the tools that they had, that was a lot of work. It's a lot of work to be faithful. It's a lot of work to work for the Lord, especially in the times of trials and tribulation. It's a lot of work, but we must stay at it. They had to work, but also they had to fight at the same time. If you look in chapter 4, it said every person, as they were building, had a sword next to them. Every single person who was working on the wall had a sword, was ready to fight at any moment. Are you ready to fight? Are you ready not only to build, but be ready to fight? Because the devil will attack you. You start building for the Lord, he will be there to knock you down. He will be there to say, no, no, I do not want that. He did not want that from the very beginning. He tried to destroy God's word from the very beginning. He mocked God. God did not say that. God's words were not that when he talked to Eve. My brothers and sisters, we must be ready, not only to build, but as you build, you must be ready to fight. You must be. But to be ready to fight means you have to know your sword. If you hold the sword from the wrong end,
what's this?
You have to know how to wield it. You have to know there's a sheath to it. You got to pull it out first. You got to know how to use it. Too many people are ready to build, but they're not ready to fight. They have not studied this wonderful word. They have not put this word into use. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the full armor of God. And part of it is the sword. But notice that a full armor is from head to toe, completely protected.
If you only have part of the armor, you're liable to get hurt. And the Bible says, who were they fighting for? If you look at chapter 4, verse 14, a quick verse, chapter 4, verse 14, then looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Who do they fight for? Who do they build for? Each other. They're building each other up. They're a building to protect each other. Let's take care of the home front. Let's take care of our lives at home, of our marriages, our kids. Let's not let them just wander off. My brothers and sisters, you have a child, you're a parent, you have an obligation to teach them this word, to protect them. Now, you cannot protect them from everything, but you have an obligation to teach them. And believe me, if you teach them this word, they will not depart from it. Praise God, I had a wonderful heritage. I have a wonderful heritage. My grandfather, my dad, and me. I'm teaching my son the same principles. It works. When God's word is preached, when the walls are built around, when things are done with the right priorities, it works. That's the problem with this world. They don't understand this Bible because they don't like the idea of putting into practice what's here. But it works. Speaking works. It's biblical. It works. Not this non-stress raising, give me a break. Who's got stress? I got stress. I don't want stress. I want to give the kid stress. Make him stressful. I got enough of it at work and everywhere else. We have to take care of our home front. Let's build. Let's repair our walls. If your walls have been penetrated, repair them. Work on them. Work on yourself. Judge yourself that you may be able to withstand. You've been backslidden? Wake up! Amen. If you've been backslidden. If you're here for the first time because you are you've been backslidden from God, look, my brother, wake up. Amen. It's time to start living for yourself and living for God. Amen. Let's get right with our God. Let's repair our walls. We have to be prepared at all times for his attack, for the Satan's attacks. Satan hits us where it most hurts. He knows where you're vulnerable. He knows your weakest link. And he'll attack it. If you're not ready, let's be vigilant, as 1 Peter 5:8 says, right? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And he's looking for you, my brothers and sisters. He's looking for me. He wants you to be destroyed. He wants to destroy your reputation, your testimony, so that you will not take anybody else with you to heaven. So that you will lose the joy of your salvation. This work, as we already talked about, is good. This is a good work. Let's do something about it. Let's work on it. Are we doing it for God's glory? We are doing it, not for ourselves, but for His glory. We're building these walls. We're doing it for our children, our marriages, this nation. Amen. This nation has gone down. It used to be. And praise God only because it was founded on the Word. On God's Word it was founded. Read it. And they're trying to take God's Word out of every single part of it. And that's what happens. When you take God's Word, things start falling apart. Repair those walls, my brothers. Let's repair them. There would be, and I listen to this carefully, there would be no rebuilding if there was no grieving. My point is because, look at chapter 1, verse 4. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah heard the stories of what happened. He heard the walls have been destroyed. He wept. He cried. Why? Do you understand the state of your walls? What's the state of your walls? If they are destroyed, why aren't we doing something about it? Why are we grieving? Why aren't we working? Why aren't we building? And I'm telling you, there for sure, in this room, there are people whose walls are destroyed. Now, I know it for a fact because we are humans. We know we have every day, we have problems. And we don't live like we should. And I'm talking to myself as well as you. We must understand, we cannot do a work for God. We cannot start rebuilding until we start understanding and grieving for the state of our walls. He grieved. It touched him. Those are just stupid walls. Oh, but they signify so much more. Those walls signified security, strength, power. That was the city of God. That's where God dwelt. We cannot do a work for God if our walls are broken. The city of God, Jerusalem, God's home on earth. Do you know that Christ lives in you? Christ lives in you. And if your walls are destroyed and penetrated, how effective are you? Can you actually be? How effectively can you withstand the devil? Not very well, unfortunately. My brothers and sisters, let's work. Let's fight. Amen. This is a good work. Amen. Let's build our walls that we may withstand the devil. Amen. Do something. Get to work. Get off your lazy duff and just start doing something for God. Yes. I used a good word, not the bad word. Sometimes we need to be awakened. I'm serious. We are in our state of just of complacency, in our state of, you know, me time, and everything is me and this world. We get so caught up. I remember when I lived here, it was so easy for me to go to work and start thinking and to think of me. And Wednesday night, but the rest of the time was just enjoyable. You know, I could actually start buying things I never could get in Mexico and Poland, mostly Poland. I could start doing things, you know, entertainment. It's everywhere. There's so much entertainment in this city, in this world, especially in the United States. Yeah, so much. In Poland, we have to think about, you know, we got the park, another park, maybe another park. We don't get much. And most places are filled with smoke and alcoholics, so you don't want to even go into those bowling alleys or pool halls, or whatever else. You can't go into with families. We don't, which is a good thing. Go out into the fresh air. Smell the roses. Look at the world. There are people out there dying daily. And if you do not take care of your home front, how effective can you be for God? You must build your walls. You must do something for God. Let's get to work. Let's fight. Let's build. Amen.